Zachariah.
Are you going to study language stuff?
We're probably going to talk about it.
I
have a feeling we're about to start the fast season.
Are we?
Oh.
Yay!
Yay! I look
forward
to this every year.
Put a bookmark or something in Zechariah because you'll never find it again. Go to Galatians 4. The fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab are the two fasts that take place in the middle of the summer. Fast of Tammuz, five major misfortunes befell the fathers, befell that which was our. The tables of the law were shattered. The daily offerings were discontinued. A breach was made in the city, the wall of Jerusalem. A Roman centurion named Apostemos burned the scroll of the law, but he first wrapped a rabbi in it. And an idol, the idol of Daniel, was placed in the temple, the abomination of desolation. The Fast of Tammuz begins a season that only lasts 3 weeks. And it's interesting because the time between, I won't go into that. But the 3 week season is at the Fast of Tammuz, it celebrates or declares it's the time in which a breach was made in the wall. Now, in the spirit, each of you are walled cities. You understand that? And the Fast of Tammuz celebrates a point in time in which there's a hole in the wall, and so that the enemy is going to overtake you. It's a sure thing. All of your defenses that you've defended and pushed against all the enemies and fought them, they've finally broken through to the point at which now in the ancient times when they broke through the wall, it was like just about the end. They broke through the wall of Jerusalem on the 17th day of the month of Tammuz. And then 21 days later, the Holy of Holies was destroyed. Now we say, why in the hell do we want to celebrate that? Now there's a very real psychological reason that you want to celebrate this. On the Fast of Tammuz is when God, when Moses saw the golden calf, his response to the golden calf was that he broke the tables of the law. Moses himself broke the tables. Now, try to empathize this a minute. You've been up out of time. You're in a position of massive awe, massive revelation. And the hand of God writes on two tables of stone 10 statements. From your perspective, and it's like nobody's going to believe me. I've seen all this wonderful stuff. I've seen the end of time. These two tablets, then, to that recipient of the tablets, have to be the most precious thing in the universe. There could be nothing that had more meaning than those two tables of stone. And Moses came down off the mountain, saw the golden calf. His immediate response was to break the thing that was most precious to him. Can you get a feel for the ludicrousness of that act? I mean, we read in Sunday school, Moses broke the tablets. I mean, that was an awesome kind of thing for him to do. Now, the goal of the Fast of Tammuz is to see your golden calf. And you don't see the golden calf unless there is a wall, I mean a hole in the wall. You got it? You got the imagery?
What's the relationship in that sense? When the hole's in the wall, that's what you run to defend?
No, when you got a, when the hole is in the wall, then you can see there's a golden calf set up there. Do you understand me?
Yeah. I was just thinking about the breaking the table. It's like, if I were in that position, I'd be so excited to come back with two artifacts to prove all this fantastic stuff to people that I cared about. And to break them with, to me, he would have had to say, screw you, I don't care if you believe what I saw, because the God that I've been with has nothing to do with the God you worship. I don't care.
I don't understand why. I mean, if it's all those fantastic stuff, why would those laws be? Why would they be? I can understand them thinking that they were awesome, but I can't understand them thinking they were reflections of any kind of joy.
I didn't hear you.
That they were reflections of joy.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that whole chain of thought. I'm sorry.
I think it's...
What? No, just repeat what you said. I'm sorry, I didn't...
I can't... It's like if he went through all that and he experienced being out of time, being in joy, and it's like I can't identify with what Carrie just said, and that they were artifacts of some kind of...
But what he saw...
Really, you know, cherished piece or something, because there were ten... Really tend to man.
What he saw out of time was the day of the Lord. He saw Jesus Christ.
He saw the resurrection.
One description of what he saw is the tabernacle, but another description of what he saw is what was written on those tables.
No, wait a minute. You don't understand. The ten... Haven't we ever studied about the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments were not... All they were was God writing Jesus Christ on your heart of stone.
I don't understand it that way at all. Obviously something is going to come.
I mean, do you understand? I mean,
we haven't talked about that.
Okay.
Can you guys hear?
Sure.
Something's weird going on.
Are you mad at me?
No, I'm not. Not at all.
It's supposed to be with me. We had a discussion, but it's awkward, I think. One of those discussions that doesn't really have an end or objective or a clear winner.
Okay. Let me see if I can bring this whole subject. We have to go to the words of Christ. That's it. Go to Matthew 24. Forget everything, every other place I said go to. Remember what we talked about Wednesday night or Monday night? You know, sounding of the trumpet. That living your life as though there were just five minutes or 5 days or a few days left. Okay. Well, I assume too much. So forgive me for assuming too much. Go to Matthew 24.
What did you say?
I assume you understood.
You knew what the hell he was talking about.
assumed you were more grown up than we are.
Yeah, but then he saw your shirt.
Yeah, that's a dangerous shirt to wear.
That's why you wore it.
Go to verse 30, I mean 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now, can you see the relationship to this discourse with the Fast of Tammuz? In your temple, the Jerusalem which now is, to you, it's the place where you get your laws, your sustenance, your identity, your... It doesn't matter whether you call it Dallas, Texas. It doesn't matter whether you call it this place of Bible study. It doesn't matter whether you call it your job. It doesn't matter. It's that place. It's the Jerusalem that now is to you, where you gain your identity. And there's a wall around that city in your mind. And around that wall is a protective device that you have established from the beginning of your existence on earth. It's a metaphor for you. Now, Jesus Christ has just lamented over you. How often would he have gathered you as a human being, you as a person, you as this that if you would only see unto him. But now he said, I see not all these things, verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He's speaking of in the spirit what's going to happen between this point and the Fast of Ab, 21 days from now, and whenever we celebrate. I mean, but when we think about it, we have to think in terms of today is the Fast of Tammuz. 21 days from now in the Spirit is the Fast of Ab. That period of time, those 21 days, are called being between the straits. You understand me? You all have built a false Jerusalem. You have built a false temple. And within that false Jerusalem and within that false temple sits the golden calf, who is a testimony to the God of this world, to the I motive in you. When it benefits the I motive to do good, you do good. When it benefits the I motive to do bad, you do bad. As long as the kingdom of self is satisfied, then this temple, this Jerusalem that now is within you, Satan's kingdom is happy. A little bit of understanding? Between the time of the breach in the wall, which is testified here and on the lament of Jesus, remember what I talked about Sunday night? That this is a further development of that, that he failed to save you. You're not savable. He breathed the Holy Spirit on your flesh. The first thing you do is want to go back to your old life or go to some new life that says you can be good and do things right. This period between the Fast of Tammuz and the Fast of Ab is the destruction of it all. And in that period of time between the two fasts, you are between the straits.
the law, the tables of the law, which you thought to be life, will be destroyed. The place that you thought was sanctuary will be wiped off from the face of the earth, of your earth, and not one stone shall be standing on top of another. Now, each of you have adorned this city, this place, Jerusalem, differently. It's the same place, but you've adorned it differently in your mind. And that defines all of the high place activity. What color light you put on your own Tammuz tree and your groves. How you shaped that golden calf to define your identity. But it's all the one thing. It's the Jerusalem that now is. What defines your success or failure within that horizon, within that compound? How the Sanhedrin sits in your judgment? What things are necessary for you to sacrifice? The city over there, and all the things that were attendant to it, including its building, are just a picture, a parable of you. And Jesus Christ is saying to you tonight how often he would have gathered you under his wings as a hen does a chicken. The only time the wings, that's a dumb statement unless you understand. The place he wants to gather you is on the mercy seat, where all things are given to you freely, where you no longer think anything like you used to think. But you stone the prophets, you kill the prophets, you stone them that are sent unto you. Now behold, your house is left unto you desolate. You shall not see him henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You don't say that yet. You don't say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, because you define the name of the Lord based on your own peculiar definition of success and failure. That's why you hate me half the time. And try to ignore me the other half. Now Jesus then, he's gone out of your temple right now. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And he's looking back. See you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Between the two fasts, the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab, and it's the attendant period of the fast of Ab, the Jerusalem that now is was plowed so that there was not one single stone standing. There cannot be one value system that you give breath to at the end of this 21 days, the between the straits. Otherwise, to you, the fast and the feasting and all of the other has been in vain. You are still trying to establish your own rightness based on the Jerusalem that now is, and you have not yet seen it destroyed. So the soul is still longing for what it doesn't have. It's still in the position of saying, oh, I wish I had this. The soul doesn't rejoice with the spirit at the loss of all things and counting them but dung. So you continually go onward in this ever increasing search for more and more and more, whether it be revelation or money or prestige or responsibility or Bible study knowledge. Anything that's a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Now that is the propensity in you that is destroyed in knowledge between the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Av. That's why nobody understands. Judaism doesn't even celebrate the fast of Tammuz. You go to the synagogue, you know what the hell you're talking about?
I just heard something I never heard before. The elegance of that phrase, the Jerusalem that now is. There's no exception. There's no escaping that. It's each man, at each moment, in each place, in each situation, it's the Jerusalem that is. Period. There's no getting out.
So Jesus is sitting on the top of the Mount Olives. His disciples have come to him privately. They're saying, what the hell are you talking about? Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, or agreeing that I am Christ. They agree. You understand, it's not, nobody's coming along here saying that. People always misread this. They agree that Jesus is the Christ. They're coming in his name saying that I am Christ. You understand?
Testifying of
him. Yeah.
And shall deceive many.
That's why the test of any teaching, the test of any thought, the test of anything that comes to you is he come in the flesh, resurrected fully? Now, if anybody gives you the slightest impression that you need anything other than what you have at this instant, false Christ, a false teacher, a false prophet. Especially this one. But many are coming in his name, saying, agreeing he was the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Not you, not the world. I mean, you know, I hear these idiots. Never mind. It's you shall hear of war and rumor of war. You're going to get wiped out. I don't want this. I don't like this. Everybody's against me. What? See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you shall be hated of all people for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. get ready to get blown away. When you, therefore, shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. When you see the abomination of desolation, the world will never see the abomination of desolation. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, the abomination of desolation is when you see the molten image in the Holy of Holies. That's why Paul said the same thing in Thessalonians. When the wicked one, the son of perdition, when he shall be revealed, then shall the end come. That's why I preach this stuff in fear and trembling. I don't care. The world's never going to see this stuff. When you shall see the abomination of desolation. Am I communicating a little bit?
Yep.
The world's not going to see it. They're going to put God's name on it. Church isn't going to see it. They're going to put God's name on it. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Etc., etc., etc. Now, this already occurred in history. All of this discourse from verse 9 through verse 28 occurred when Titus entered the holy place and placed an idol in the temple. That's what the Fast of Tammuz and the Fast of Ab celebrates. This period of time between Tammuz and Ab, these 21 days, can be the period of the greatest revelation you've ever dreamed of. Or it can be the period of the greatest sorrow you've ever imagined. Depending on where your mind is. If your mind is still locked to those things of the senses, it will be horrific upon horrific. If your mind is locked onto that life which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you've seen that you can glory in tribulation because it's the vehicle by which the seed is tested, and it's the trial of faith, then it will be glory upon glory. A little bit of understanding? Now, I've never said what I just said to anybody. I've never talked about when it's you shall see.
That happened in history, but it has to happen in each of us.
Now go to Zechariah. Tell me about your life. Again, we'll go through this thing. Tell me about your hopes, your desires, your dreams. When you know the end is going to be, time will end in 21 days. And you see the abomination of desolation. Tell me about your great plans that you've placed God's name on. Great ideas. Don't you see? It's by your obedience that will fulfill this mystery. But I say, very, very carefully unto you, that if you hear what I say to you, and you ignore it, it would be better for you not to have been born. Zechariah 8. Again the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. And this isn't talking... God doesn't give a flip about a piece of land. They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. Once you begin that process of trusting, I mean, he is so jealous, you can't even imagine jealous. I mean, you think you're jealous? I mean, your jealousy, you just sit around, grumble. God kills. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. That new Jerusalem is right here. It's the overriding reality in this contingent that science calls time and space. It's simply the It's the only truth. That's why revelation is the only thing that's real. Everything else is not real. The point in time in which you see that light shining as in a dark place, that light is the only thing real. The moments of time in your past few years when you've seen through the veil of the flesh, that's the only reality. And from that reality, it is impossible to be in a position of need. But you see it and then leave it. Because you think that that wasn't real. And you allow the blindness that the God of this world has placed in your mind to continue. But you do it willingly because you love that darkness more than you love that light. And the only reason you do is because of cowardice. You know, am I communicating at all, or am I just talking to the air? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, every man with his staff in his hand for very age, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith, do you understand? I mean, do you understand that you've got to really make a jump here? This time, you have finally got to come to grips with the issue of whether or not I'm right. And whether or not the new Jerusalem is here now. If you can testify with your mind that the New Jerusalem is here now, and that you are the temple in that Jerusalem, then you will finally defeat your mind. Every time your mind and any other teaching comes that says you need this or that to be complete, you need to go here or there, your mind itself will have a stone of witness against it. But you have finessed these words all these years. You don't believe the New Jerusalem is here now. And you've got to come to grips with it. Because, I mean, you've got to come to this conclusion that either I'm the craziest son of a bitch you've ever met in your life, or it's right. You say, okay, I hear this. You don't hear it. Because 5 minutes from now, you will be off on another trip, thinking you need something else. The definition of the New Jerusalem is it's the place where there is absolutely no need. It's your definition of heaven. That's what every religion, it's nirvana, heaven, it's where everything is. That's the basis of the stupidity of religion. They think you're either going to heaven or hell at some time after death. You're either in the New Jerusalem right now, or you never will be. You're either in heaven right now, or you never ever will be. And you will have no capacity to be there. You've got to come to grips with this. If you can't, then get the fuck out of here. You're wasting my time. You're wasting the time of God. And if you stay around here, you're going to experience what God means when he said he's jealous. I don't want you to do that. That's what I told Linda last night. Linda Newman, go away. I don't want you around here anymore. You love the darkness more than you love the light. Go away. I don't care if it's Matt or Harry or you or you or you or you, any of you. If you don't hear this, go away for your own good. Leave tonight. When you see, it doesn't take a minute. Bloom thinks I'm crazy. Maybe I am.
When you talked to Linda last night, Pete and I talked about this in a while, and somebody else mentioned that the same thing happened to them. When you were talking to Linda, you were talking to me.
Yes.
And Pete said you were talking to him, and Larry said you were talking to him. Now, when you told her you love the darkness more than the light, why don't you just leave? When you said that, I thought about the little dipshit fantasies that still hang on. And when you said, go to that, it was like, it just turned into a puff of smoke. And it's like, I can see that there's nothing left. There's nothing left to defend. There's nothing worth defending. It's like, come on, let's tear the son of a bitch down. It's gotten old. Let's tear it down.
For six. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be wonderful or marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in my eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. What is his it's a lament. And God is saying to you, he's pleading with you, begin to see with his eyes so that you can be in a state of confession, that you will agree with what he sees as marvelous. Don't be an enemy. Many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites, whose glory is their shame, for they mind earthly things. They're not enemies of Christ, just as we read, many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. The method of deception is the same one that goes on in your mind. The reason there's so many followers of that is that they agree with, that all they do is preach something that the mind agrees with. Well, that's why, that's simple. Do you realize, when I first became a believer, I was on television every night. I got more offers to speak all over the country, all over the world. You know, people, I could have had follower upon follower. I'm a reasonably good speaker. I have a reasonably good way of speaking, and I could have done this message better than most. And God dealt with me, and he showed me that that which was a gain to me, even in his name, was a loss to Christ. Now, you've got to begin to see that in you. Your mind will always believe that gain is godliness, and that change will affect that gain. But if you endure till the end, endure in the place of abiding, then shall you be saved. Because what you're doing, if you get up and leave and change, you're not enduring chastisement of the Father. And therefore, you, in his eyes, you're no longer a legitimate child, but you're a bastard. You don't want to be God's bastard. It's another one of our things we don't want to be. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Now, he's either talking about, let's go rebuild Jerusalem, or he's talking about what I've said, that the new Jerusalem is our overriding reality. You know, I can obviously prove to you in the scriptures that the New Jerusalem is our overriding reality. But that doesn't do you any good. You've got to believe it. You've got to see through that veil of flesh. To see that wonderment, the marvelousness of the overriding reality of our permanent place of residence. Your life is hid with Christ in God on the mercy seat. Set your mind on things above, not on these ridiculous. Begin to see through your circumstances. You always believe, no matter how much I've taught on it, you always believe that there is a second cause. You never, the concept of a first, and the concept of first cause is one that has driven philosophers and poets and science mad since the beginning of time. They cannot conceive of a situation in which there is only first cause. That
what that means is that
they are no cause.
Huh?
What that means is they are no cause.
Yeah, that they're just instruments. Verse 9, thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days. These words by the mouth of the prophets. These words can't be spoken except by the office of prophet. I mean, otherwise you'll just hear them and read them as history. You understand? God doesn't have a history book. Which were in the day the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before those day, before these days, there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast. In other words, there's no purpose. And that's in you, until you see that your position is only in that of becoming the living stones. In that particular metaphor, you have to see that there. Before those days, there was no hire. You had no purpose. I mean, you were just a sperm cell. You were a sperm cell thinking that the way of escape was out.
I kept running into a rubber wall until I fashioned my theory. So what do you have?
The New Jerusalem is the egg. And you're the sperm cell. When the egg enters the sperm, you lose your identity. What? When the sperm enters the egg.
The sperm, I'm going, wow, that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, okay. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid in the temple, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for men, nor hire for beasts, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of affliction. For I set all men against one, I sent all men, every one, against his neighbor. I mean, you got to know by now that no matter what it is you think will change your circumstance. If it's not peace now, by definition, it won't be peace then. You understand me? There is no condition that you can imagine yourself in that you think you desire that will bring you peace unless there's peace now. Unless there is the total absence of againstness. I have to personalize this stuff sometimes. But can you imagine me being concerned about a career objective? Can you imagine me being concerned about my retirement plans? Can you imagine me being concerned about where I'm going to live? I mean, this house may be gone tomorrow. I don't have any place to live. I don't care. Can you imagine me be concerned about how much money I make? Or what kind of clothes I have? What kind of car I drive? Or whether I've seen the right movie? Those things are all And can you imagine me really being concerned about what somebody thinks about me? Why? I'm just like you. The only reason is is I've seen the abomination of desolation. I've seen the promise of the New Jerusalem. I've seen through the veil of the flesh. Now, that's right in front of you. Just say, Lord, I desire it. I desire it more than anything on the face of the earth. And He is faithful and just to fulfill that prayer because it's in His perfect will. But now, verse 11, I will be unto the resident or remnant or seed of this people, as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, the ground shall give her increase, the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. Pretty neat. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. That's why you can't fear the faces of men. Your very presence in the environment is the only reason they're alive. You're the one that gives them life. How can you possibly fear them?
I don't understand.
They have no purpose except for you.
That's the kind of stuff that might go over well.
Well, I mean, Jesus said it, all things exist for your sake. You possess, you own all things. Do you understand? From a spiritual, that's why it says the meek shall inherit the earth. You can't be meek unless you know you possess all things. Otherwise, you're a wimp. Meek doesn't mean wimp. Meek means that you possess all things and have voluntarily given them up. Meek shall inherit the earth. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. Now see, God... So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. It's God's intention to do well unto you. Once you have gotten rid of any strange God within you. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in all your gates or in your gates. Let none of you imagine evil in your heart against his neighbor. Love no false oath. No. By definition, any oath is false because it assumes the continuation of time. Make an oath that is valid if you know time's going to end in the next second. You can't make an oath. You can't make a vow of some future event when you know that your very presence, your obedience, is bringing an end to time. That's why God said, above all things, my brethren, vow not. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate. Say, well, you don't want to do something that God hates. That's another thing on your don't do list. And the word of the Lord, now this is where the thing gets funny. Well, listen to this. There's no one on the face of the earth, except for Rex, but he hasn't done it yet, that hates fasts worse than Harry. Harry has never done a fast yet. He sneaks away and smokes cigarettes. He sneaks away and drinks coffee.
But I've never done the other thing.
What's
that?
Sex? Wired
off? Harry defend yourself.
Oh, so...
Was that effective?
Oh, God, it's amazing.
So that's why we're going to go out to the ranch so we can watch Harry.
No, wait, but I guarantee you, Rex is going to hate fast worse than Harry. I mean, we're going to see complaining like you have never seen
complaining. Whining. I've managed to escape.
When do we go?
We haven't decided yet. But listen to this. With that in mind, and I'm sure, I mean, you, none of you can say you like to fast, right? I mean, fasting is not as smart. I mean,
I like the nice fast. I don't like the fast where you can't rub your eyes.
That's when we're going to do. Fast of Ab, and this time we're going to do it together.
So we really have to
go through that whole show with
Oh, no, I'm waiting. No.
You are not very smart.
I'm not saying it's you.
Oh, I mean,
you can't go to the bathroom either.
Those rituals for the
front of the room. Yeah, you can't use toilet paper.
No. I'll stay around everybody else. I'm not staying around you. No. Because you get shitty.
You are. Brad,
he gets shitty when he's fasting. Yeah. You're not miserable enough, Megan.
He's not fun at a party.
All right, listen. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be to the true house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace.
Yeah, this is one of the better translations.
Cheerful.
When the transformation in your mind of the idea when the soul cries for what it has lost, the spirit rejoices for what it has found, is the promise that will take place at these fasts. That's why we do it.
I don't know what the word therefore means, and I don't know why it's in that sentence, but I do know this, that for the one who loves the truth and the one who loves peace, then by definition the fast is a feast.
Amen. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. And the inhabitants of one shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord of hosts and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is, in the translation, and hear me, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is in you.
Wow. It's like the 10.
Minion.
Minion.
A new minion.
It's for us too.
a new mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. And the word mansion there doesn't mean stupid translation. It's the way we get the word abide. In my Father's house are many minions, or places of abiding. Now, go to Jeremiah 3. I'm going to show you one more thing, and then we'll quit. Verse 12. Anybody find it? Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, now the north is always symbolic of going toward Babylon, the false religion. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. Now you understand? And I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered into it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shalt not turn away from me. And that's why, you remember a couple of weeks ago, or whenever it was, we did that night in Bananas about the searching for the lost ark. Well, remember what I told you about it. The ark represented all your, the things that you desired, the best there was in time and space. And here it says, you shall say no more of the ark of the covenant, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall you remember it, neither shall you visit it, neither shall that be done any more. That has driven biblical scholars wild. You understand the Fast of Thomas a little bit? Anybody have any comments or... other interpretations? What, Harry? What's Harry doing?
I'm looking at a toenail on the floor. It's not mine.
I thought he was trying to cry or something.
I did. Look at some old toenail.
No, it's a toenail.
Take it, big guy.